And again to the Joseph family, welcome to church today. As you saw, we're continuing our series regarding habits, spiritual disciplines, small disciplines, big results. And so just looking forward to what God has to teach us as we continue in this series, an exciting series, what I would say is a stretching series for us as pastors as we look into this and as we go through it. And so, but God has been good as he's been teaching me incredible things through his word and through some times that just spending in time with God and rejoicing with him. He is so good as he teaches us and reveals things to us through his word. If you're watching online over the next little while, I'm not sure what's going to happen, but if you're in this building, you will know that there's some different things that are happening in the back. Our video production has become a team now, so it's not just one guy, and our video production is turning into a team, so we're excited for that. We thankful for Nathan and Matthew, who have put in a lot of time throughout these, since March, so 9-10 months, as we've been doing online stuff, so we're excited about that. And we're excited that Tim is a part of the new production team as well, as he has spent all of his holidays here this past week getting things set up for our new video production. And so we're looking forward to that, looking forward to how God is going to use this as we reach out to people that we haven't been reaching. And so good to have some more resources to be able to do that. Somebody was telling me just before we came into the service this today that they were at the local Bible Kennedy's Parables in Saskatoon, and this year they have sold more Bibles than any other year. And that really tells us something. It tells us something that people are searching. And there's people there that may be afraid, and they're searching for the good news of Jesus. So we're excited. We have opportunities to share the good news of Jesus with people. And they're open to it because they're buying Bibles. And so what an exciting opportunity. So how can we use those opportunities to reach people for Jesus? And the opportunities are endless when you allow God to work in and move. And use us. And so, and I think this series on spiritual disciplines is going to help with that. I think it's going to push us in that direction, keep us moving forward as we go and make disciples out of people. So again, excited to get into this series of talking about spiritual disciplines. And so we'll just get right into it this evening. Ever do something out of sheer desperation? I love the last song that we sang, because it talked about surrender and it talked about the desperation. And so I think most people have done something out of sheer desperation. We don't know what to do, so we just, And so years ago, I started a new job, and I was, it was in a warehouse, and so I was moving heavy boxes around. And so I was by myself over the lunch hour, I think it was, and I bent down to pick up this box and move it, and and it's like, oh dear, and it's like, okay, well, it's not too bad, but the box still needed to be moved because I heard the rip, and so I just got up, and it's like, is anybody around? Is anybody watching? And so I got up, and nobody was watching. It's like, okay, and so I tried to be a little bit more careful, and I bent down and I got ready to pull that box, and rip, and like from top to bottom, that thing was open. My pant leg was open, and it was just a nice flag blowing in the breeze. It's like, oh my goodness, this is my first day of work, and this is the impression I get. And so I was frantic because everybody else was on lunch. There's a few people around, but they weren't in the area that I was. And so I was frantic, and I ran to the table, and I'm like, tape. We got lots of tape. No, tape's going to look too obvious. It might stick to my leg and pull the hair. That's not fun. So then I'm looking around. What is there? Some kind of banding machine there. I could band. No, that's not going to work. Everybody will notice. I'm trying to be discreet, and I'm desperate to find something. And so I looked on the table, and there's this stapler. Of course, it's a warehouse, so it's a pretty good stapler. And so I began to staple, and it worked. And so there I was for the rest of the day, walking really weird, legs close together, trying not to, when I bent over, it was really gentle. But out of desperation, you do these things because you don't want to be the new guy that's starting and everybody's, and and knowing the place now that where I was working, yeah, you didn't want people to know about it. So I think on my last day before I came here, or in that last little bit, I actually started telling people, and it was no big deal then because I was leaving and it happened a long time ago, not a big deal. But we do things out of desperation. And I remember when I was 26 years old, I was extremely desperate as I woke up one morning, not living for the Lord. I was doing all kinds of things and I was absolutely at the end of myself. There was a feeling disgusted with, just absolutely disgusted at the lowest point I believe I've ever felt in my life. And it was at that time that I prayed that, and we just sang that song, I surrender. And I told God, I surrender to you today because I'm so sick and tired of living this empty life, this life that's just pointless. There's a few happy moments, but mostly it's a life of unhappiness. And so out of that desperation, I cried out to Jesus and he heard me and he transformed my life. And yeah, it's still an ongoing process. But there's this transformation that began to take place. And it's ongoing. As we live out our lives, there's an ongoing part when we come to Jesus, when we cry out to him in desperation, put our faith in Jesus, there's a transformation that begins to happen. There that happens, that moment upon salvation. But it doesn't stop there. It's the beginning. It's not the end. And so it's the place where you become new. It's the new who of you. I like Dr. Seuss, so I figured I'd try and fit that in. So it's the new you, the new who of you, sorry, the new who of you. Where there's been a transformation that's happened. You are new in Christ. There's something significant that has happened in your life. There's a transformation. There's a transformation that happened from sinful to positionally holy. And yet it's ongoing. It's not something that just stops there. It's not just, this isn't the end. There's something that continues to happen, and we call it sanctification. And we're set apart. We're no longer part of that old life. We're no longer ruled by sin and Satan and all of those things. They no longer have dominion over us. But now we have the freedom and free to serve and live for Christ. And so there's this sanctification that happens, and that's what we call it in church, sanctification. It's a fancy word for you're no longer under the rule of Satan and sin and death, but you're free now, free in Christ. There's a newness that's happened. There's a transformation that's happened, and it's absolutely great. Now, sanctification, there's three different aspects to sanctification. There's sanctification and it begins at salvation when we start following Jesus, when we accept Jesus. That's called, we walk into sanctification. There's progressive sanctification. That's ongoing sanctification. That's where every believer is right now. We're continually growing in our knowledge and faith and understanding of Jesus Christ and in the grace. His grace continues to mold us and to shape us. So it's ongoing sanctification. We're continuing to grow in this process. And the Apostle Paul, he was continued to grow even as he was serving, even as he was ministering. He continued to grow and continued to continue to become sanctified. It was progressive. It's moving forward. And he even said in the scripture, he talks about the fact that it's not something that I have attained to, but I pressed forward and I'm moving in that direction. So there's three aspects. One is, upon conversion, we are sanctified positionally. Then there's the progressive sanctification that we do as we do life. And then thirdly, when we leave this earth, we become perfect, holy. Positionally, we are perfect. Positionally, we are holy. But when we get our new bodies, we will be perfect. And so that's future. And so there's three different aspects of sanctification. Positionally, when we receive Christ, progressively doing life, and then in the end, when we receive our new glorified bodies. What a joy, what a privilege, what a longing to wait for that in our lives. And it's at this point, upon salvation, upon our conversion, that we begin to recognize the depth of our need for God and the need for his grace in our life to transform, continue to transform us into being more like him, being more Christ-like in each and every day. It's progressive. We're not there yet. And Paul says it. I press on. I'm moving forward. I haven't reached that yet. And so that's where we are at too. We're in that same place, continually moving forward to that day when we get our new glorified bodies. And I believe that the spiritual disciplines move us forward in that direction. They help us in our progressive sanctification. Spiritual disciplines are the how to become the new who of you. Spiritual disciplines are the how to become the new who of you. Today we're speaking of the spiritual discipline of fasting. And my memory is absolutely horrible, so I'm only going to go this far. I've been the lead pastor here for 3 years, and I'm not even going to say, I don't think we have spoken on fasting in that time frame. But it's not something that we're really familiar with. We talk about it sometimes to a small degree, but we don't talk about it a lot. And there are people in our church that do fast. And in fact, this past week, I spoke to a few different people who have spent some time fasting and got some really insightful information. And so they were able to help me as I was studying and preparing for this sermon. But fasting is one of those things that, well, we live in a culture where you drive down any street, you drive down in Saskatoon, and the streets are absolutely littered with the golden arches at every street corner almost. There is temples of pizza everywhere that you look or you turn. And so why would we deprive ourselves of food when there's so many different places that we can find to enjoy food? And maybe you don't enjoy some of those things, but I mean, man, if you look on almost every street corner in Saskatoon, there's got to be some kind of a food place, whether it's fast food, whether it's a different type of food, but there are food places everywhere. And so why would we want to deprive ourselves when there's so many good things to eat? And in fact, God created this food. Why would we deprive ourselves from eating food? Why would we fast from eating these great and glorious foods that God has so greatly created for us? But what if we came to realize that our greatest need isn't food, but in fact, our greatest need is God? That would change how we view food. Our greatest need is to know God. Now, most people know of God. They know about God. But this is talking about knowing God intimately. Knowing God extremely deeply, knowing his character, knowing who he is. And you know, when friends, I have a friend who lives out in Calgary, and when he comes to Saskatoon, he will text or phone a few weeks ahead of time and say, hey, we're coming out this time. And so what I do is I will generally try and carve out some time and make a time where he can come, where we can hang out together, because that's what we do with friends, right? We will set aside plans, other things. We will rearrange all of our schedule because we want to hang out with somebody that means something to us. That's a really good friend. We want to hang out with them, so we're going to rearrange our schedule. We will cancel appointments. We will move appointments to another time just so we can spend some time with a friend. Now, if we were to do that with God, what would it say to God? What would it be saying to God if we were to take and carve out some time for God? Take some time in our schedule and say, you know what, God, I just long to be with you. We haven't spent any good quality time together. And so I'm going to carve out this piece of my day for you. This day, this time, is going to be for you and you alone. There's going to be no interruptions. I've canceled all my appointments. I've canceled everything I'm doing because I want God to know that God, you are the priority in my life. So I'm going to set aside this time to spend time with you and with you alone. And nothing is going to come in the way of that. We do it with our earthly friends. We do it with them. And so I'm encouraging you to do it with God. Carve out some time for God. Carve out some time to spend that intimate time to get to know them. That's what we do with friends, right? We catch up. We want to know what's happening in their lives. We want to know more about them. And so we spend time getting to know them more. And man, if there's any being that we should want to get to know, it's God. It's God himself. Now, in our culture, we don't talk a lot about fasting. Fasting is kind of, well, it is making a little bit of a resurgence, I think, now in our time. But mostly when we hear about fasting, it's for health reasons or for dieting reasons. I mean, yeah, some people still do fasting. But predominantly, it's not a big thing in our culture. And yet when you look in the Old Testament and the New Testament of the Bible, you will soon see that fasting was very much a part of their lifestyle, of their culture. You will see them fasting. I mean, all through the New Testament or the Old Testament, you will see stories of accounts of people that were fasting, and they're fasting for various reasons. We'll touch on them a little bit. In the New Testament, you see some of that as well. In fact, Jesus has something to say about fasting as well. And so if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, we'll just briefly look a little bit at what God has to say about, what Jesus has to say about fasting. And so this piece of scripture, this passage of scripture, they're called the Beatitudes. And so we're going to start with Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 16, and just read through to 18. Jesus says this: whenever you fast, take note of that first word, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, he's talking to his disciples, but you, when you fast, disciples of Jesus, anoint your head, wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Fasting is for the sole purpose not to be recognized by man, not to get recognition by man, not to somehow speed up our or give us points in heaven with God or something like that. That is not the purpose at all. The purpose is relationship. The purpose is intimacy. The purpose is I want to know God better. I want to be with him. Fasting is one way we can become more intimately aware of who God is. When we talk about this is a way to get to know God, know him, this is the process to get there, to spend time with him, and we do it through fasting. Fasting is also a way we can express our joy and delight in God. It's a way that we express our joy and delight in God, in who he is. If you turn to Psalm 63, 1-8, and I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation, but Psalm 63, 1-8, this is a beautiful picture of somebody earnestly seeking to be with God because he knows God. He knows his character, and so he desires, he longs to be with God. And so he says this, and he says, oh God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. Do you sense the desperation in these words, in this language? I'm looking for you, God, because I know that you are so much better than I am. I need you. I need all of you. I don't need a portion of you, but I long to be with all of you, to have all of you. In verse 2 it says this, I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your glory and power. And so when you see that part of who God is, you just long for it. If you've ever experienced it, and if you're a follower of Jesus, you've experienced it at very least upon conversion, upon the point where you became a believer, a child of God, you have experienced that. I have seen you in your sanctuary, gazed upon your power and your glory, and it just brings you to your knees to worship. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. That's knowing who God is. We want to get to know God. That's knowing God. And then he says, how I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night because you are my helper. I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me. Do you know God like that? Are you in relationship with God like that? That's who God is. The psalmist knows God intimately. And I want to know God intimately. I want to experience him to that level. And when it talks about the you satisfy me more than the richest feast, more than the, think of the best meal that you can ever have. God satisfy me more than that. You feel like my stomach when it's full and feel satisfied from the best meal. You are far better than that. You are greater than that, God. And so I long for that. You are better than that richest feast. And so we see here that fasting is feasting, but it's not filling us with filling our physical need. It's filling our spiritual need, and we become full and we become satisfied in who God is. Zechariah 8 verse 19 says this, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth, the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth months will become joy, gladness, and cheerful feasts. Fasting is feasting. We're seeing that. Fasting is feasting. We always look in our culture, we always look at it as a negative thing, but it's not. We're seeing that it's fasting is feasting in the presence of God Almighty. What a place to be. Psalm 34 verse 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see. I love that language. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him, who hides in him, who runs to him, who lives there. Taking time. Because we know of who God is. We know of his character, of his love. And so we're willing to take time and spend time with Jesus. So fasting is feasting. Fasting is a way we worship. And fasting is a means by which we confess and express our need for God's grace in our life. When we fast, what we are saying is, God, I need you more than I need food today. Fasting is simply abstaining from food to feed on God, to know him, to willingly submit to him and say, God, all of these other things, food, I will give up food because it's more important to be with you. I desire so much that my relationship is right with you, that I will give up food and I will come to you and I will fast and I will confess my sin because My sin is so great, and I need your mercy every day. I need it new every day. I need to spend time with you. And so fasting is an opportunity for us to come before God and confess that sin and make things right. And so what we're saying when we're fasting and getting right with God, when we're fasting and getting the sin in our own life, or fasting in the sin of the nations, if you look at these different scriptures, you will see that fasting included confession of self, but also confession of the nations. They wanted to see God work. There was such a heaviness, that there was such a sinful people against a holy God, that they wanted to spend time and in confession with God, because of He is a holy God. And more than I need food, I need to be right with God. More than I need anything else, I need to be with God and be right with Him and make sure that relationship is right with Him. And then fasting is also how we express our absolute longing for Christ, to be with Christ. That I long so much to be with Christ that I'm willing to give up my food, this earthly thing. I'm willing to go hungry to spend time with Christ because I long for Him. Matthew 9:15 verse says this, and Jesus again, He's speaking. And He says, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. You fast when you're separated from the bridegroom. There's a longing inside of us. As a follower of Jesus, there's a longing inside of us that longs to be with Jesus. I mean, we live in a really fallen world where there's sin and the effects of sin and hurt and all kinds of other things that go on. And this is an opportunity, fasting is an opportunity to express that, God, I long to be with you, so I'm willing to give up, submit myself to you, because I long to be with you. I long to be free from this earthly place we live in, where there's hurt and there's anger and there's bitterness and there's tears and there's all of these things. God, I just long to be with you. I want to be with you. And so fasting is an expression of that. And so if we look throughout the scripture, there's all of these different aspects that people fasted because they were confessing their sin. They fasted in repentance. They fasted to know and understand God's will for their life. They fasted to hear from God. They fasted to, because there was decisions to be made, and so they fasted to hear from God. God, I want to hear from you more than I want food today, so I need to spend this time with you, so I'm going to give up my food because I want to spend time with you. I want to hear from you. I don't know these things because I'm just a person, and you're Almighty God, you're all-knowing God. So I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to give up this food thing so that I can hear from you. So as we look at these different ways that we spend time with God in fasting, the benefits, that intimacy, knowing God, confession of sin, being right with God, being in that right relationship with God, knowing Him so intimately that we cry out, we just simply long to be Him. If that's the benefit of practicing spiritual disciplines, then how do we struggle with spiritual disciplines? Yeah, we're speaking about fasting today, but next week we'll be speaking about prayer, and typically prayer and fasting, they go together in the Bible. They fasted and prayed. They prayed and fasted. They kind of go hand in hand. If the benefits of practicing spiritual disciplines are how to become the new who of you, then why aren't we practicing them? Are we desperate in our fallen world? Are we desperate in our situations? I think we do become desperate in certain times when crisis arises, when things seem to be falling apart in the world around us. we get desperate enough, and maybe that's the time where we pray that football prayer. Hail Mary! And we launch the long one. Why do we wait for that last minute, the last seconds of play of the game before we're going to ever throw up some kind of a prayer? Why do we wait? We should be desperate. We should be desperate for God to transform our lives today. When I look at my life and I see the person that I am, is it the person that I desire to be? It's not. When I look at the Bible and I look at my life, I'm not the father I desire to be. And so in desperation, because I want to be the dad that I need to be, I want to be the husband that I should be, I want to be the pastor that I should be, the pastor that's spelled out in the scripture, then what does it mean? It means that I'm going to take some time, and I'm going to be willing to give up something. I'm going to be willing to give up food to spend time with God. God, show me. I long for you to show me how to be the pastor you desire me to be. Not that I want me to be, but the pastor that you desire me to be. God, in desperation, we cry out that I want, God, show me how to be the best dad that I can be, the best husband that I can be. The desperation should be there. The desperation. We cry out in desperation upon salvation. When I was sitting at home at 26, there was desperation in my life because everything seemed hopeless around me. That desperation should be in the process that should help us through or move us in that progressive sanctification that we're continually growing to be more Christ-like each and every day. And it should drive us to be there. And fasting is one of those ways, one of those disciplines that I believe will help to transform us so that we can be the best person that we can be. We can be the best who of you. Fasting is expressing our dependence on God and submission to His will. I surrender. As the band sung earlier, I surrender. If you and I desire the best who God has for you, then I encourage you as we're walking through some of these spiritual disciplines, Bible reading, fasting, prayer, confession, solitude, that we need to embrace, because fasting and prayer, they're the gateway, the keystone, the foundational piece for us becoming the best who that God wants us to be. And we do this as we submit to the will of God and trade our physical feast for a spiritual feast. And through fasting, our lives, our loves, our relationships, and our thinking, it's all transformed. Often, we try fitting our lives into God's plan instead of fitting God's plan into our lives or allowing His plan to be our lives. So how do we move forward? We're talking about fasting. How do we move forward practically today? As I was preparing for this sermon, I have done very little fasting in my life, but I felt very strongly that God was calling me to fast. And so I learned some really cool things as I fasted. And I'm not saying this, you know, in that scripture it says, you're not tooting your horn, you know, don't do this because you want people to say. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there's struggles, there's challenges. I did it. As your pastor, we're teaching about fasting. We need to be fasting. And God laid that on my heart, and so I fasted. And I felt strongly that God was calling me to fast for 48 hours, and it was the first 24 hours was an absolute incredible time. But when you're fasting, you have to remember this, that you need to consult your doctor. My second 24 hours wasn't so good. I have hypoglycemia, and so I had a pretty rough second day. So consult your doctor when you're doing this. Do it the right way. So if there's medical issues or whatever, we understand that. We get that. But there's other things that you can fast from, and other things that, and I gave up coffee for over 50 hours. That was the hardest struggle in my life. I went, and you talk about habits. I wanted to try and incorporate habits into the sermon series, but it didn't work. So maybe at the end of February, there's a couple of Sundays I get to preach. Maybe I'll work into that. But talk about habits. The first day, I was fasting for 24 hours, and I was just having water. And three times, out of habit, I got... I guess this is the other thing. If you have a habit... my coffee machine is like maybe 3-5 steps away from my desk. And maybe that's what I have to change in order to change this habit. But three times, two or three times before 10 o'clock in the morning, and I only got here, I think, at 8 that day, I caught myself on my way to the coffee maker. And I thought, I debated with myself every time, well, I'm fasting food. Why would I have to give up coffee? And I just felt that if I gave in, it was cheating God. And every time that I craved coffee, I didn't even crave coffee. It was just, I believe it was habit. Every time I went to that coffee machine was an opportunity to remind me, oh, yes, more than I want coffee today, I want Jesus. More than I want food today, I want Jesus. It was, I had some incredible times of prayer with God. And just embracing who God is and his love and getting to know him and experiencing him. And it was an incredibly cool time. So what's the first step? Well, the first step is pray to God. The first step is pray to God. Ask him, God, do you desire me to fast? And if so, what should I fast for? And I'm going to give you, I got a great starting point this week for you. So pray, God, I want to fast. And what can I fast if you need some helps? I've got some helps right there. I'm looking at it at the back. There's a music stand, and there's some helps on there, how to fast, how to do some things. If you have some health issues, please, and maybe even if you don't have some health issues, please consult your doctor. Check that out. That's important. But there's other ways that you can fast. What can I give up? And in that time, you're spending time with God. If I'm going to leave my phone at home for a day, in that time, you're not just filling it with video games. You're filling it with being with God. More than I want my phone today, social media, whatever it is, I want to be with God. I would encourage something food, something hard, though. Something that is a challenge, something that when you crave, when whatever, you're reminded of, I need God more than I need this right now. So do that. Have a plan. Have an idea to fast. What I'm going to tell you to fast for, or what I'm going to suggest, not tell you, what I'm going to suggest to you is we have a family that's in Sri Lanka that their lives has been upended for years already. And I would encourage you this week, this coming weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, to find something somehow, some way, and to fast for that family. And when you're denying yourself, when you're submitting to God, when you're denying yourself of that, allow God, that time for God, and bring this family before God. God, what? God, this, you know, I'm desperate. Think of this family. They are desperate. In desperation, cry out to God and spend time with him. But the first time you fast, whatever you do, if it's food, don't fast for 24 hours. Maybe skip one meal. Don't be stupid like I was. Sorry, that's not a good word. Don't be crazy. Whatever. Don't do what I did and go for 48 hours if you've never really fasted that much before. Skip a meal. Start there. But it's doing it to submit to God and to cry out in desperation. And when you pray and fast, and we'll expect God to work and to move. Let's close in prayer. Lord God and loving Heavenly Father, we come before you. I come before you with the privilege of knowing you as my Lord and Savior. And when I cried out in desperation, you received me as your child. Oh God, I thank you. And Father, I cry out in desperation because I'm not the man, the father, the dad, the pastor that I ought to be.
And so God, as we're learning about spiritual disciplines, God, would you impress upon our hearts a specific discipline that we can begin this year? Maybe it's fasting, maybe it's reading our Bible, maybe it's praying and fasting, maybe it's praying, fasting, and reading. I don't know what it is, but God, I pray that we would seek you, because when we seek you, you reveal your will to us. And I pray that we would look and expect your will, not ours, to be accomplished. So God, thank you for that. God, if there are those here right now listening that don't yet know Jesus, but they're in a desperate spot, God, that they would know that if they cry out to you in their desperate spot, in their desperate situation, you will receive them as your child. You say, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And that's all we need to believe, that Jesus, you are enough. You are enough. Your shed blood on the cross, your death, your resurrection is enough to save me from my sin of this desperate spot that I am in. God, it doesn't matter what anyone's done, where they've been. You receive people because you love them when they come humbly and submit to you. So God, if there's anybody here today, then Lord, lay it upon their heart that in their desperate spot, you will receive them and you will give them a new life. You'll restore them to the life that you desired for all of mankind. Oh God, what a privilege to be your child. And so Lord God, we just pray with those people here today. Father, I come to you in my desperation. I need you. I can't do anything about my sin and my sinful condition on my own. But Jesus, I accept your free gift of salvation. God, thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for those who are praying today in desperation for you. Thank you that you hear us. Thank you that you answer our prayers. So God, we go from here anticipating how you will work as we begin to faithfully take on a new discipline this year. Pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Thank you for coming, and you're dismissed.